Today, I want to try to address three questions over the course relating to the Dalet Avos Nisigen. So the first question that I think we have to ask when we think about Dalet Avos Nisigen is whether this is like indicative of our conception of Nisigen. Meaning, do we think that the Dalet Avos Nisigen constitute the scope of Nisigen? Is the entire concept of Nisigen exhausted by the Dalet Avos Nisigen? Or are the Dalet Avos Nisigen simply examples, like a heuristic that the Torah uses to teach us about different cases of Nisigen? That's the first question I think we have to ask. Okay, just to crystallize this, I think with a good nafka mina, so the Chazon Ish seems to come down very strong on the side that the Dalet Avos Nisigen are literally what constitute, are what make up the concept of Nisigen. So the Gemara on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, when it's trying to figure out why we need all the Avos Nisigen, says, why can't we just learn Karen as a Kal Vachomer from Shane? Right? And it says, Shane, you're Chayav, even though it's not Kavanah L'Hazik. Karen, Lo Kol Shekein. Right? Because Karen's Kavanah L'Hazik, of course you should be Chayav. The Gemara says, no, you see from Evan and Amma that there is Kavanah L'Hazik but you're Patur, so you can't have that Kal Vachomer. So the Chazon Ish points out that that is not actually the reason why you're not chayav for Evan and Amma. It's not and the Gemara gives a reason. The Gemara says that for Evan and Amma, the Gemara rejects that rejection, meaning it tries to maintain the Kal Vachomer by saying Evan and Amma have an intuitive reason why they're Pater. Shema Yakni Tenu Rabo, right? The master might upset his Evan, the Evan will go cause damages. The Chazon Ish says that's not really the reason why you're Pater for Nizkei Avdo V'Amma, so. Rather, the reason why you're Pater for Nizkei Avdo V'Amma, so, is because there's no Av Nizikin that you can trace back Evan and Amma to. There's nothing that Evan and Amma would fit into. So if there's nothing that Evan and Amma would fit into, of course there's no Chiyuv Nizikin in that case. That's his basic argument. And just read it quickly. So this is Simon Gimel on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Atu Evan V'Amma Lav Taima Rabba V'Chulei. Lo Ba'u Kan Laduni Chayiv HaRav on Nizkei Avdo. We're not trying to figure out whether you're Chayiv for Nizkei Avdo. Devade Lo Chayiv Bo. We know that Chaya and Of are included in Nizkei Behema because of a connection to Shabbos. Ilav Yalf Behema Mishabbos Havu Chayav Of Turin. And if not for that, we would have said Chai and Ofar Patzer. The Ebre V'Am Alav V'Chal Behema. Ebre V'Am are not V'Chal Behema. V'Hilkach Kimlan D'Rachmana Patzer Al Nizkei Avdo. There's no Mechaye for Nizkei Avdo V'Am Aso. You can't trace it back to a specific Av Nizikin. So of course you're not Chayav. V'Hada Amar Shema Yakni Tenu V'Chulei. The Gemara's rationale of Shema Yakni Tenu Rabo. Zeu HaFlagas Devarim. Seems to be an irrelevant factor in the Pturin Nizikin for Avdav Amaso. The real reason why there's no Chiyah for Avdav Amaso is because there's no Av Nizikin which you can root it in. Again, a clear raya that for the Chazon Ish, the Dalet Avos Nizikin are what constitute the scope of Nizikin. And if something can't be traced back in lineage to one of the Avos Nizikin, then it does not constitute Nizikin. There won't be Tashlumin. The Grizz is probably the opposite extreme of this. Just to point to, we're going to talk more about the Grizz for other things, but just to point to an example, when he's reading, when he talks about Chayav Of, he says there was never a question about whether Chayav Of are Chayav or not. They're clearly Chayav for Nizikin. There'd be no reason why you wouldn't be Chayav for Nizikin. The only question there was whether you have the Pturim that Behema has. That was how he read Chayav Of. Now, for the Grizz, it seems that the conception of Nizikin is independent of the Dalet Avos. You don't need to trace back your lineage to Dalet Avos to be Chayav Nizikin. There's a general principle of Nizikin, Kol Shadarko L'Hazik, Shmirasa Nalacha, Chayav Nizkov. Right? Everything that normally does damages and that you're Chayav and Shmir, that you're Chayav for. The Dalet Avos Nizikin are simply examples of cases like that. So he would never say that Avdova Amaso should be putzer because you can't trace it back to a specific case of nezikin. If anything, there's a presumption in every case of monetary damage that you should be chayav. You would need like a special dispensation for why you wouldn't be chayav in a case of nezikin.
When you just say it wouldn't trace back to the tzad of shoga, should we also not lefa?
Probably not. Probably he would. I mean, the point is that the tzad of shoga. I mean, okay, we'll get back to the tzad of shoga in a second. But I think the idea from the Griz is that if anything, is that the dalet avos nezikin aren't meant to determine the scope of nezikin. They're meant to give examples of cases of nezikin. The concept of nezikin lies independent of those dalet avos nezikin.
From the tzad of shoga, or
what do you mean from the tzad of shoga?
Once we have these arba avos, now we have shmiras malacha and darfum lahazik.
We learn that that's the principle.
Right. So shmiras malacha would necessarily be for.
Okay. So like kind of like over Rosenberg, it's like an epistemological question of like how we know what nezikin is. But it's not that if you couldn't fit it into an av nezikin, you wouldn't be chayev, right? Because the point is that then that the concept of nezikin is that principle of kol shadarko lahazik shmiras malacha. The avos nezikin are specific examples of darko lahazik shmiras malacha. That'd be the idea. So the clear nafkamina here, avdav amaso, is an example of the nafkamina. The nafkamina is there a presumption of liability in a case of nezikin? For the Griz, there's an absolute presumption of liability in every case of monetary loss. You'd have to come up with some crazy reason why that wouldn't be the case. For the Chazanish, unless you can specifically point to which av nezikin is the basis for this case of nezikin, there would be no liability in that case. Okay, so that's the first question. I would point out that simple reading of the Gemara seems to support this first perspective, that it's the avos nezikin which are deterministic of what nezikin is. So, for example, the Gemara spends a lot of time trying to figure out which tolda fits into, and presumably the simple reading is that you need to figure out which av the tolda fits into in order to determine liability, in order to assess the fact that you are chayiv in that case, to assert the fact that you are chayiv in that case. So, to the extent that that is true, clearly the avos nezikin are what determine what should be included in nezikin. Right? And then the other piece of evidence that seems to kind of indicate toward this are cases which rely on more than one av. So presumably these are cases which are created by the avos. Right? So all those cases on Vav and Aleph, the Mehatzad cases, all rely on more than one av to create their chiyuv. So to the extent that that's true, it's clearly the four avos nezikin which are determining the scope of nezikin. And then one more point. So I think if you read, I don't have the Rambam with me, but I think if you read the Rambam, you kind of get a perspective toward the second side, that it's not the avos nezikin which constitute the concept of nezikin. It's really, there's a general principle of nezikin. The avos nezikin help us assess the liabilities in particular cases. Right, I think we were definitely pointing out the problem in the Rambam in general and Shir, that the Rambam doesn't start off with the avos nezikin. What he starts off with are principles about when you're chayav and when you're patur in nezikin. And what the avos are doing are teaching us those relevant factors. Right, so the Rambam starts off with derech riyaso lahazik versus maisa mishuna. Right, so that principle can be found in Karen. Right, we learn from Karen that you're more responsible for the actions that your animal is accustomed to doing and is kind of natural for it to do than those actions which are rare and unexpected. We learn that from Karen, but it's the principle that's really the relevant factor. And then from Shane and Regal, we learn that when you engage in permitted activities, which will likely lead to certain results, we shift the burden to the from the potential mazik to the nizak. And we say the Nizak now has to protect his stuff, right? It's not that Shane, Regel, Karen are determining what Nezikin is. It's that we're learning from those principles who the burden's on, how much of a burden we place on that person. Right? We learn from Karen, we learn from Shane and Regel, we learn what principles dictate how we should be mechayev in different cases. So you don't get the perspective from the Rambam that it's the dalet avos Nezikin which are determining what Nezikin is. You get the perspective that the dalet avos Nezikin, if anything, are telling us how to judge different cases, how to adjudicate different cases. Clear? Okay. Question number two. So the first question is basically, do the Dalet Avos and Zikin constitute Nezikin, or is there an independent concept of Nezikin from the Dalet Avos and Zikin? Question number two, is there a general Mechayiv that covers all Nezikin, or are there individuated Chiyuvim? That's the second question. I think we can ask this question in two separate ways. They're obviously going to be very related, but two separate focuses. So the first one is, does every case of damage have the same relevant factors of chiyuv? Is there anything in, for example, in Eish that contributes to the chiyuv nezikin of Eish that's lacking in Bar? Or the opposite, anything in Bar that's lacking in Eish? Is there anything relevant to the mechayiv of nezikin that's pertinent in one case that's not in another case? Okay, and I think this is where the Grizz comes down very strongly. Right? The Grizz basically says, no, there is never a case of nezikin which does not have the relevant factors of chiyuv. All you need, the sufficient conditions for the chiyuv nezikin, are darko lahazik v'shmiras analecha. There's no difference between Eish, between Bor, between Shor. Every single case of nezikin has those factors. And so, Shein versus Harabim, for example, has all the relevant factors of a chiyuv nezikin. Right? It's not that there's some inner dynamic dictating that Shein versus Harabim is putter. Shein versus Harabim has all the relevant necessary conditions for chiyuv nezikin. That's the Grizz's perspective. And the Torah comes along and pater Shein versus Harabim as Gzeiras HaKasuv. In terms of the mechayev of nezikin, it's a very primitive concept. You break it, you pay. That's it. That's all it is. That's what it can reduce down to. Right? There's no individuated different types of chiyuv nezikin. Everything is that simple perspective. You break it, you pay. Okay. That's one way of posing the question of whether there's one mechayev or a different mechayevim. The other way to pose the question is whether the basis for the chiyuv nezikin is the same in all cases of nezikin. And by this, we can point to entirely different rationales potentially underlying the different chiyuv nezikin. So for example, Bor could be lifnei iver, Shor could be a derivative of chiyuv shmira, Niskei Eish can be a function of the destructive forces that you create, Shein could almost be a din in Geneva if you really play up the Hana'a Mechayiv. So if you really play up that, then the rationale for being Mechayiv Nezikin in different cases is totally different in each of Nezikin. Okay, and there it's not the question. I mean, these are going to be very related questions, but they are also independent. There it could be that the pertinent factors can be relevant in every case or not. Here it's just a different question of whether the rationale for being Mechayiv Eish and for being Mechayiv Bor is the same or not. Good? Okay. So what are some nafkaminas of both of those questions? Whether you have one mechayev nezikin or four different mechayev nezikin or individuated mechayev nezikin. So I think the first nafkamina is, how are you going to read the Tzad HaShaveh in the Gemara? Right? Once we have a Tzad HaShaveh that expands the scope of nezikin, how are you going to read that? So the most extreme way you can read that is the Grizz. The Grizz reads the Tzad HaShaveh as being the basis for the chiyuv in all cases of nezikin. It's basically, the Tzad HaShaveh is basically a proxy for saying that with respect to the chiyuv nezikin, we don't really care about which av we're dealing with. It's just a way of saying that all of these cases have relevant factors to be chayuv. That's what the Tzad HaShaveh is doing. It's telling us that we don't care about the av nezikin, we don't care about whether this is shor or bor with respect to the chiyuv nezikin. All we care about is whether you have the necessary conditions to be mechayiv nezikin. What are they? Dark on the hazik, shmiras on alacha. And that's what we learn from the Tzad HaShaveh. A little bit ironically enough, perhaps the most restrictive reading of the Tzad HaShaveh is the Rush, which the Grizz is based on. Why? How does the Rush read the Tzad HaShaveh? Anyone? No? No one wants to suggest it? So again, the Rush quotes some shitos that in all those cases of Tzad HaShaveh, you're gonna have the Pturim of both of the Avos. correct? You're going to have the Purim of both, let's say, of Shor and Eish. Sorry, of Bor and Eish. Right? That's the first case. Or Bor and Shor. You're going to have the Purim of both of the Avos. And he disagrees. V'linire, the whole din Bor Yesh Lahem. Really, they're completely Bor. Sorry. Says the Kaimelan Kavasei Bor Gamerhu Ella de Lo Matzino the Melech Mi Bor Lechude. It's completely a bor. All of these cases are complete bores, except we wouldn't be able to learn that you're chayav in those cases from bor alone. Mishum de Lo Dami Legami the bor. They're not perfectly analogous to a bor. Bitzkudas Asu LeNezek because it's not necessarily an initial creation of hazard. O Mishum de Koach Acher Meura Bahen. Basiasan, Oshalo Garmelo Maisav, Oshasiasan Bershus, Hutrach Lahavi, Yochiach Mishar Nizikin, Shein Lachalik Beneim Ubein Bor, Mishum Hani Pirchos, Sheina Monos Chia Bahem. So we prove from the other Nizikin that those aren't sufficient reasons to pater you from Chia of Nizikin. Meaning, the Tzad HaShav is telling us it's a Giloy. That bor is more flexible than we thought. That the concept of bor can include cases of koach achar me'ura behen, or she'ein ma'isav garmulo. But in the end of the day, we have to fit everything back into the chiyuv of bor. So if anything, the Rosh is a very restrictive reading of the Tzad HaShaveh. It's not that there's a general chiyuv nizikin. It's not that all we care about is the relevant factors of chiyuv. It's that the Tzad HaShaveh teaches us that the individual avos nizikin are more flexible than we thought. They were able to apply the other avos nizikin, the chisronos and the other avos nizikin, to say that those are not sufficient reasons for us to pater you from bor in this case. Is that clear? That's almost the most restrictive reading of the Tzad HaShaveh? Yes? Great. And then perhaps somewhere in between is the Yesh Min HaGdolim that the Rosh quotes, that you're potter from both of the Avos and Zikin. It seems that for him, the Tzad HaShaveh, what it's doing is teaching us that the four Avos and Zikin can create new categories of Nizikin. That you had Shor, Bor, Eish, whatever, Shane, Regel, Karen, whatever, and you can create new Avos and Zikin from those. From those principles, you can create a Shor, Bor. Or a Bor, Eish. You can create those kind of in-between cases where you superimpose two categories on each other.
So it's just a question. It's Tana Bashir, basically, the Mishnah? Or it's just that he takes the specific denim of the Avos to create the Avos? Meaning, is it that, like Ramosia and Dalam of Eish, or like actually more Avos? Or is it that he's just taking the specific denim and says, oh, we can create new categories?
Sorry, can I ask your question again?
Yeah, you just said, I might have misunderstood, but you, from the Yesh Min HaGdolim, that the Tzad HaShaveh can create new avos from the,
from the four.
The pieces of the original four, you can create new ones. So you're saying that it's the Mishnah was Tana Bashir, that there's four and there are actually more? Or is it that, no, once you have, you can take the denim of the four avos and create new avos?
I would say more toward that first Tzad, Tana Bashir. I would just note that it's not necessarily Tana Bashir because the Mishnah itself said Ashana Shava Shavahen. But yeah, more toward that first side. That there are more than four Avos and Zikin, we can learn all of them from the four Avos and Zikin.
These four is because they're in the core of four Avos.
Yeah, something along those lines. Good? Clear what the Tzad HaShaveh could be doing? Okay. Another Nafkamina, this is a really great Nafkamina. The Agos Ashri, I think this is Perek Bey Simon Zion. So, the din is that if you have tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones, you're chayiv in nezikin. If you start off negligently, and then you end up completing the nezikin ba'ones, under duress, you're still chayiv nezikin. So let's say what happens. You start off b'pshia in one av nezikin. And then you finish ba'ones in a different av nezikin. So are you going to be chayiv or putzer in that case? Are we going to say tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones, chayiv even when you're switching between avos in the middle. What do you think?
Tosafot says no.
Okay. Saying what? But I'm saying intuitively. Agos Ashrei also says no. I didn't know Tosafot said no, but okay. Intuitively, what's the... What? Okay. But what's the rationale? Why?
Because they're all one thing. You're maybe different shim, different like categories in that,
yeah,
one
matter. Exactly. So this is very problematic for the Grays if you think that you're putter. Right? So Ashrei says you're putter. Ashrei says that when you start with one Abba Pshia and you finish with a different Abba Ones, that's not Tchilas Abba Pshia. Because with respect to the Mechayiv that you did, the Av Nezikin that you did, you were Be'ones the whole time. That makes no sense for the Grays. There was no different, there was no switch in Mechayiv when you went from one Av to a different Av. You were within the same Mechayiv Nezikin of the whole time. Darko Lahazik Mishmaras and Alecha. That never changed from when you went from one Av to a different Av. So for the Grays, you're gonna have to disagree with Ashrei, with Tosfos, and think that you're Archayiv in this case. When you start with one Av and finish with different Av, it's also Mishmaras and Bonus. Good? Clear Nafkamina? Okay, one more Nafkamina. So the din is that if you have an animal carrying like a load in Rishas Rabim, and like it does damages like while it's walking normally, that's going to be Regel. And so Regel Rishas Rabim is Putter. So the Chazon Ish wants to know, okay, fine. So you're Putter Mishum Regel. Why don't we say, this is the Chazon Ish in Simin Yud Aleph Os Yud Dalet. Mevakama. Wants to know, why don't we say that there's a fallback to you? What's the fallback plea of? Anyone? What should it be? Well, that can't be Karen, because it's not Kavan al Hazik. It's not.
You're kicking.
Aish. Yeah. You put it on, and then it's Koach HaKhamer Urabo that goes and destroys things. Why don't we have a fallback of Aish to be Mechayev in this case? Okay, that's his question. He wants to know, you have a case, basically, where you have two separate sources for the fee of Nezikin. So he answers that you can't say that, because once the Torah was Koveya that this is a Shem Regel, you can't mix and match categories. This is going to be a case of Regel. We're not willing to say that this is also going to be a Mechayev of Eish. That's his answer. Now for the Grizz, this question is meaningless. There's no two separate Mechayevim when you have a case of a loaded animal. There's no two separate Mechayevim of Regel and Eish. It's one Mechayev Nezikin. Darko lahazik b'shmiras on alecha. It doesn't matter whether you call it Eish or call it Regel. It's the same Mechayev of Nezikin. The only question that matters is what the shame is in terms of which Pturim you're going to apply. But there's no fallback Chiyuv Mechayev Nezikin. Once you have a case, it's you're either Chayev or Potzer because you're either Darko lahazik b'shmiras on alecha or you're not. Once you are, then we have to figure out what shame it is to Potzer you or to Mechayev you. But the Chiyuv Nezikin is the same. One second, Joey. Yeah, but the shamos are relevant to the pturim.
Yes.
So if you have a shame, you're going to be putter from that shame. Right? If you have a shame regla, you're putter versus rabim. That's what the shame regla is doing for the grizz. So even if you have a shame ash also, you're still putter versus rabim because you have the pturim of regla.
Is that for sure true?
Yes. For him, for the grizz, the only thing that the shame does is putter you in certain cases. It doesn't add a level of chiyuv. The chiyuv is the same basis chiyuv. If you didn't have any shame av, you'd be chayiv in every case. He's very clear about that. Right? That's how he reads the chayiv of case. That's how he reads the Karen Mechuberes case. Right? The point is that if you didn't have a shame av to apply, you'd be chayiv in every case. What the shame av does is potter you in certain cases. Good? Clear? Good. So three nafkaminas of this question of whether it's one shame, one general mechayiv nezikin in all cases, or individual Mechayev Nezikin. How do you read the Tzad HaShavah? This case of Tchilas B'Pshia Bein Av La'av. And then this case of whether you can have two Mechayev Nezikin in one case. Good? Okay. And now for the final question. Are the Pturim in Nezikin related intuitively to the Mechayev? Okay, and again, this is where the Grizz comes down very strong. And he says no. There's no rationale at all for the different Pturim. Why? He's basically backed into a corner in order to say this. Because he has such a unified conception of Nezikin, where every single case of Nezikin has the same sufficient conditions to be Mechayev you. Shane versus Arabim has the same sufficient conditions. Bor with Kalim has the same sufficient conditions. Every case of Nezikin has the same conditions that you need in order to be Mechayev in Nezikin. The only reason why you're Potter in certain cases is because the Torah came along and superimposed a Potter in those cases. The Torah came along and said that when you have Kalim to fall into a Bor, you're Potter. Or when you have Shane versus Rabim, you're Potter. Torah came along and just imposed those Pturim on top of the Thiev. Right, it would almost be incoherent to have such a unified conception of Nezikin and to still think that there's some rational basis for the Pturim. Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair question. I don't have like a great answer for you, honestly.
Do you need a logical answer if it's all zeros? If the Torah is not fit to put these as a Torah, that's no rhyme or reason about it.
Yeah. Okay. I think you're kind of pointing out here that, and I think we'll see more eyes to this, that it seems almost incredible that everything is totally irrational for the Pturim. And I think that the Grizz is kind of backed into saying that. Like, I think he takes the most extreme formulation here, that everything is just a Xeris Akasa without any rhyme or reason.
According to this division, the Grizz, how would he use it to get Tavua? You're saying that he gets Tavua and he bases it off the roof and the Rosh. And the roof basically says that Pagunis is a Knasset, and this is going to apply the quantity of Tam between the Knasset and Pagunis, but I should counter it. If Grizz is going to say that the Shemos
based on not rationale, you mean? Is that what you're saying? There shouldn't be a rationale to explain why you're putter?
Tom isn't saying why you're putter, but he's saying why you're playing half. When we're complaining, the problem is it's not, and they have to say it's not. If he's basing on the riff, then Tom isn't saying I'm putter, Tom is saying I should have put the legato, but I'm making five half.
Well, I mean, okay, I mean, but you could answer to that the Torah was like Mechadesh, that you're both Patr Legamri and Katam, and then was also Kone Isri that you're Chayav Katzi Nezer. What? So maybe it was Patr you, and then there's a separate Xeris Akasa that says Vechatzu is Kasva. And maybe the Xeris Akasa of Tom is that you're Patr. Like the Shame Tom is Patr you from Nezikin, and Vechatzu is Kasva is telling you that you're Chayav Katzi Nezer. It's not like the Chayav Nezikin, maybe. You could say that. Joey? Didn't you have your hand up?
Oh, yeah. There might be, I think everyone's been selecting later first, but in between possibilities first, that even if it's a zero second object, that it still could be like an inner logic that's not necessarily based on, let's say, like regular things that people think you guys, but it still might be corresponding to certain factors.
Yeah. So I would recommend seeing the Mishnah Sur Baron in Bava Kamma Siman Aleph, which is a Baron color. He seems to take a very similar perspective to the Mechayev Nezikin of the Grizz, that it's all one unified Tarek Olahazik Shmeras and Alecha is Chayev Nezikin, and yet he still wants to contend that the Pturim are intuitive. So that might be similar to what you were just suggesting from Rabbi Zweig. It's very difficult to say that there's such a unified Chayev and such an intuitive Pturim, unless you think that the way you basically have to look at it is that Shem Bereshis Rabim has all the conditions you need to be Mechayev you. The Torah came along and imposed a Chiyuv for a rational reason. So the Ptur is imposed by the Torah despite the sufficient conditions needed to be Mechayev in Nezikin, but the reason why the Torah imposed it is because there's very intuitive reasons to why we want to Pater Shem Bereshis Rabim. To why we want to Pater Tam Mechati Nezek. So I want a potter bore, may Adam Kalim. That's the Mishnah Sirach. So that's a very interesting perspective that kind of goes along with what Joey's suggesting now.
So. If the Grizz are playing up the Tzadah Shaveh as being like the general and all the different factors by all the different levels, so they're just saying that despite this like Tzadah Garua, you're still chayav because of these permanent factors. Couldn't in theory the Keturim rationally relate to Tzadah Shaveh as opposed to the individual factors of the Avos? Meaning that if Shemesh Sarabim, maybe, you don't have, maybe Shmiras Malacha isn't there, so you don't actually have all the pertinent factors or something along those lines.
Meaning you're going to say that all those, meaning, so you want to say like the grid that the Mechayah and the Zikin, the Shmiras Malacha, Dark Al Hazar Shmiras Malacha, and all the Pturim are sufficient, are lacking in Shmiras Malacha, Dark Al Hazar Shmiras Malacha.
I mean, case by case basis for the different Pturim, but.
Right, it's going to be very hard to say that. What do you mean?
You can say, I thought he was referring to, he didn't go through specific examples, but Tam and Mu'ah, the difference between those two, you'll have Darkon Lahazik. For Shasarabim, Shmiras Alecha wouldn't be in that case. Tam would also be a Shmiras Alecha type of thing. It'll have a Asuki Daite, things along those lines. It would all relate back to the Tzadah Shaveh, but aren't about the specific.
Okay, I mean, was he saying that the Grizz is saying that, or are you just saying that that's like a theoretical conception of how you can be explained?
I'm not talking about the Grizz.
Right, okay. I don't think the Grizz is saying that for sure. The Grizz is pretty clear that it's just the Xeris Kasev without a reason. I honestly think it's going to be very difficult to try to say that every one of these Pturim relate to those factors of Chiyuv, of Dark on the Hazik, Shmiras Malacha. But if you can, then okay, cool. That's, another perspective in, the relationship between the Pturim and the Mechayev. So you have a very unified Mechayev Nezikin and a very unified Pturim Nezikin based on those factors. That would basically be the perspective. Okay. Good. I think the much more compelling perspective in the Nezikin in general is that the Pturim are reflective of some Chisaron in the Mechayev Nezikin. That we're dealing with different Mechayev and Nezikin in different cases, and the Pturim are intuitively connected to those Mechayev, to those Mechayevim. Kind of like going full swing the opposite of the Grizz, that there's four individuated Mechayev and Nezikin, and that's what those individual Mechayev and Nezikin determine the relevant Pturim in those cases. The characteristics of the Avos Nezikin determine the Pturim in those cases. So I just want to spend 2 minutes just to end off here. Just giving a few examples where that seems to be well supported in Gemaras and Rishonim. So let's just look at a couple of the Avos Nezikin. So Shein and Regel. So the Gemara on Chaf Amud Beis says that when you bring your kelim into Rishus Rabim, you're mafkir them. Tosafot doesn't literally mean you're mafkir them. It just means that you're misyayish that you'll ever get back the damages because it's so expected that they'll be destroyed by people trampling on them. Very similarly, the Rambam Miniske Mamun Aleph Ches says that you're potter for Shein and Regel and Shusar Abim because you have the right to walk there, and it's very normal for an animal to eat while it walks and to trample things in its path. Okay, the Rush in Simon Aleph points out that there's a Xeris Akasev that says you're potter in Rosh Hashanah. So why does the Ram give this reason? So he says that he's just giving a rationale for why you're potter. And he explains that people can't be expected to watch their animals from wandering normally. It'd be impossible to expect people who want to use Rosh Hashanah, who want to use the public thoroughfare, to have to watch their animals from doing every little thing that the animal feels like doing. So to watch the animal from doing something in Keren, from running around and destroying things with kavana lahaz, something that it doesn't do normally, there we can expect that the owner is going to watch it enough that it doesn't do that. It's going to have it on a leash or something. But we can't expect it. It's not going to move its head to the side and eat something if there's an apple in the middle of the street. Or that it's going to trample on a plate if it's in the middle of the street. Can't expect that. Okay, so these makoros are very against the grits. Right, already. Because the fact that they're providing some rational reason that they're trying to figure out, who are we placing the burden on? how much can the Nizak have expected when he put his stuff there? All of these makoros are clearly indicating that there's some rational reason for why we're putter in Shana Rega versus Rabin. Right? How much is the animal able to be watched? How much did the Nizak know that his stuff was going to be destroyed by bringing his stuff there? Right? Those are very intuitive factors for Shana Rega versus Rabin. For Karen, so the Gemara, and we pointed that out, we spent a lot of time on this in Shir, but I'm just going to briefly talk about it for a second. The Gemara in Tesvav Med Aleph says that Tom is Bechezka Shimor. Right, again, seemingly, the point of the Gemara is that Tom, there's no reason why you should have been Chayev. Right, it's Bechezka Shimor, you shouldn't have expected that your animal was going to do this. It's totally out of the ordinary. Right, there's no reason to hold you accountable for something that you couldn't have possibly accounted for. Something you couldn't have possibly expected. That seems to be what's underlining that Gemara's rationale, right? That's the thought of Chatzinezek Knasa. I would also point out that the Chiyuv Birshus HaRabim for Karen is very related to the Ptur of Shein and Regal Birshus HaRabim. Right, so if Shein and Regal Birshus HaRabim is because we couldn't possibly expect you to guard your animal from doing these normal activities, and because the Nizak knew that he was taking an extreme risk by bringing his stuff into Rosh Hashanah, neither of those are true for Karen. You can watch your animal that it doesn't go around goring things, and the Nizak shouldn't have expected that he was going to be gored in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, that some animal was going to go crazy and start goring and start running around trying to destroy things. So both of those factors are not relevant. And then one more thing for Karen. Oh man, I printed out the wrong thing. The Gemara on Chaf Beis and Chaf Dalet and Beis has a principle: Kol Mishana Uba Achar Kach Mishinabo Potter. A rule for Karen that if someone engages in a strange activity, and in doing so, another animal gores that person, the owner of the goring animal is Potter. There's two applications of this. One is that if you incite a dog to bite, and it bites you, the owner of the dog is putter. You are Mishana, you're inciting a dog to bite, and the dog goes along and bites, you're putter. The other example that the Gemara gives is that let's say you have an animal sitting in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and it just starts crouching in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Stops walking. Another animal comes along and kicks it, and damages it. So Reish Lakish says that in that case, you're putter. Under the same principle, Kol Mishana Achar Kach Mishina Bo Potter. What's the rationale for this tour? So seemingly, because the Mechayiv of Karen is doing a Maisa Mishuna, is guarding your animal from doing a Maisa Mishuna, it's not considered a Maisa Mishuna if the first one was Mishana. Relative to the particulars in this case, there's no Shinoi of the second one. Meaning that it's a Maisa Mishuna objectively, but if you look at the particulars of the case, the relative Shinoi of the first one to the second one, there's no sufficient Shinoi to be Mechayev and Mishum Karen.
So the fact that the Gemara, I think, applies this principle also to Regel on the previous stuff, so that...
Does it? Mm-hmm. Yes?
I think so, yeah. And talking about Aleph, I think, at the bottom, like where it talks about that someone is Mishana by bringing their Kalim and Ksut into their Shudarabah.
I don't want to spend time searching for it now, but if you're right, then that is problematic. Yeah. So I mean, if we apply this to other avos and zikin, then yeah, that would be problematic. Right. I'm suggesting that it's like a din Karen specifically because of Karen being ma'aseh mishuna. So if it applies to other avos and zikin, that would be against this approach. Yeah.
Specific example is when you're eating
ksus,
which would also be a
ma'aseh
mishuna.
Oh, that's Karen.
Oh, so since it is the ma'aseh mishuna. Okay.
It's not mishuna for it to eat in Rosh Hashanah, but it's mishuna for it to eat a
opposed to the eating of the kasud and the fact. Okay, sorry.
Well, eating the current also.
Yeah, eating the current. Eating the current.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Okay. Pushed off? Okay. I think there's machlokas in general about those cases of when you're eating the derech mishuna, whether that's regular, whether that's chain or karen. I think we generally say it's karen. Yeah. So.
On the point of the Rambam bringing the rationale for why you thought they're on chain regal, why would he do that if we say the Rambam like the grids that the almost thinking are hinting towards the yisod of Pesach? Why would he do that right now if both there is a yisod?
Sorry, I don't understand.
I mean, Rambam, we said that the Rambam is one of the grids in the sense that there is almost like hinting towards the yisod of Nezek, about a chayim tikkun.
No, okay, but not like the grids in the sense of a unified single concept of nezikin. I think the grids has like three distinct points. One is that nezikin lies independent of Elbus nezikin. Two, that there's a single unified mechayev nezikin. And three, that the, and this is, he's backed into by saying, because of number two, that the pturim have no intuitive connection to the mechayev. Those are the three distinct points. I think the Rambam would agree with the first one, not the next two. That the concept of Dalet Avos Nezikin is independent of the scope of Nezikin. Good. Okay. Two more. So Bor is Patzer Me'adam and Kalim. So the Rambam in Iskei Mamon, Yud Beis Tes Zion, says the reason why you're Patzer for an animal that walks into a pit and dies, but you're chayer for the nezikin of an animal that walks in. And the Ravid says, no, you're patur from the nezikin of a behem also. So the Magen Mishnah says, the reason why the Rambam thinks you're patur for an animal or a behemoth that walks into the pit is because it's fair to have expected that people and animals would make sure not to wander into the deathly hazards on the road. That if you create something that's going to kill animals and people, it's fair to expect that is something that people and animals watch out for as they're going on the road. Right? You dig this massive pit in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, it's fair to expect that people are going to watch out and not wander into it and just fall in and die. Animals are not going to wander into it and fall in and die. For Nezikin, that's not so much true. That's not so true. People and animals don't carefully make sure that they don't get a little bit hurt. They'll make sure to avoid the major dangerous hazards, but they don't make sure to avoid the smaller hazards. And the Ravid says that the reason that even a zikin of a behemoth is patur is because a man might be distracted. He'll be thinking about things. He won't be so careful to avoid the little hazards. Animals, literally all they're doing is walking and avoiding damage. That's literally their lives, is just to avoid, is to make sure they stay healthy. They're not thinking about other things. They're not going to be distracted by other things. They're going to also be careful not to walk into a pit if they can see it. In the middle of broad daylight, a normal animal won't walk into a pit and get damaged. So even the zikin of a behemoth is going to be patur. That's how he explains the Ravid. Again, it's very, very like intuitive connection between the chiyuv of nezikin and the patur of nezikin. Right? You created a hazard, that's the mechayev of nezikin, and it doesn't apply to cases where it's fair to have expected that people wouldn't wander into it. Good. And then maybe one more, so for Eish, so there's a patur tamun. Right, kalim that are hidden are patur. So, the bechor shor in Shmos Chaf Beis Hay, I'll just read it, gives a very unified explanation for why this is true. Shalim yishalim hamavir esa beira shahaya lo lishmor ha'esh lo yelech mitok shalo. The reason why someone who lights a fire is chayav is because he should have been more careful that it doesn't spread beyond his rishus. The law says leiv ala nezek shahesh yachol asos, and he should have been careful in lighting that fire to know about the damages that he could have caused by creating such a destructive force. Ulafikach, therefore, Patra Torah Tamun Be'esh, Sha'ala Tamun Lohaya Lo'itein Lev. He's Patra for Kalim that are hidden, because he couldn't possibly have given heed to the hidden Kalim. He couldn't have known about them. He couldn't have known that by lighting this fire, he would potentially damage those hidden Kalim. Kevan She'en Roe Oso, Ve'en Ochayev Ela Tamun Yaya Dua. Unless something is hidden and it's known that it's hidden, then it's as if it's seen. Right? The person that lights the fire has to be careful, has to know that by lighting this fire, he's taking on a risk that he could potentially damage the houses around him. But he doesn't have to know that he's taking on a risk that he's damaging the hidden gems that his neighbor is putting inside of his haystacks. That's not a fair liability to place on him, because he couldn't have known about those. That's how he explains the Petur Talmud for Aish. Again, a very intuitive, rational reason for why we're posturing Aish. So I think as we go forward, it's definitely worth keeping our eyes on all of these reasons that the Rishonim and the Gemaras give for the Pturim and the Chiyuvim in different cases, and to see if we really think that the Griz is like a tenable shot in the concept of Nezikin. Good luck tomorrow.